Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And in that fourth verse, Nicodemus, he wanted to know, well, if a man is born again, does he have to go back into his mother's womb a second time to be born again? You know, and in verse 5, this is how Jesus answered him. Jesus said, except a man be born of the water, listen, this is how you're born again, of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You're not going to even enter into the kingdom of God. So you're going to have to be born again of the Spirit and of the water. Now, water, you know, is baptism. And you know the Spirit, you have to have the Holy Ghost. So, saints of God, we need to get where we need to get, and we need to get there now because the time is winding up. And we can see how the devil is just all over. He's running rampant in people. And people are just doing all kind of things. They're acting out. They're lawless. They're evil. They're hateful. They have a murderous spirit, a killing spirit. And we're going to have to get past all of that. I want you to know, we have to get past all of that. And the only way we're going to do it is through prayer and fasting. You know, we can see clearly that there is a difference in the way we have to live in the flesh or in the natural, or how we're supposed to live in the Spirit. You know, we can see that there's a great difference in how we live in the flesh or in the natural. That's what the Bible says, in the flesh or in the natural, than the Spirit way that we are to live when we're born again of the Spirit of God. It's a difference in how we live. And see, we see people now want to live the same way as you do, as the world do, and they want to call themselves a spirit person. We believe in God. We're saved, and we believe in God. We're Christians, but it's more than just calling yourself a Christian. You have to live the Christian life, and that's in the Spirit of God. The point I want you to see is this. This day and this time, we're fighting a faith fight, and our weapons are to be those of the Spirit. Our most powerful weapon of the Spirit is prayer. You know, these weapons, the prayer, the name of Jesus, and faith, these are the way we're going to have to fight. We're going to have to use the name of Jesus. He said, you just ask in my name, Jesus. In the name of Jesus. The disciples, they always say, in the name of Jesus. Whatever they did, they say, in the name of Jesus. We're no better than disciples. We're no greater. We're no smaller. We're supposed to do the same things they did. We're supposed to do it also. And if they use the name of Jesus, when they asked for anything, they said, in the name of Jesus, we have to do that same thing. We have to pray in his name. We have to confess in his name. We have to go to the Father in the name of Jesus. He said, no man cometh to the Father except by me. So you're going to have to go through Jesus to get to God. Amen? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You're going to have to go through Jesus to get to the Father. So our most precious and powerful weapons is going to be the name of Jesus. It's going to be prayer, and it's going to be faith. You know that we can do nothing outside of faith. We have to have faith, because without faith, the Bible said we can't please God. So we're going to have faith. Saints of God, we're going to have faith in the Word of God. And we can't stand, by and just do nothing. The church has to be one of great power and supernatural spirit abilities and strength has to come from the church. Great power and supernatural spirit abilities. That's what we have. And this is what we're going to have to use. These are our weapons and our tools that God has given us to use in order to fight in this day and age the problems that we're facing right now. We're going to have to use those spiritual weapons that God has given us. If we're going to make it, saints of God, we're going to have to do the things that God has called us to do. We're going to have to use that beautiful big book, 66 books. We're going to have to use them in order to get ahead and to do the things that God has called us to do. We can't fight the devil with our flesh and with natural weapons. We have to do so with spiritual weapons. And those weapons are the word of God, it's prayer, it's the name of Jesus, and it's faith. Praise the name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
All right, family. You have been listening to the Spiritual Warfare Broadcast with Evangelist Wanda Bell. You can connect with us on Facebook at Evangelist Wanda Bell. Or you can write us at Evangelist Wanda Bell or Spiritual Warfare Ministries at P.O. Box 5884, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307. Tune in every Tuesday and Thursday, same time, here on KAYT 88.1, as we go deeper in the Word of God. This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is gospel radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Greetings, faithful followers and listeners of Dr. John E. Montgomery II and the Movement of Christ broadcast. For the entire month of January, we are celebrating Dr. Montgomery's 66th birthday and his 37th pastoral anniversary, and we are extending an opportunity for you to be a blessing to this great man of God. Surely this broadcast has blessed and encouraged thousands over the years and even brought many to Christ. Glory to God. If you are one of the many blessed by this broadcast, we ask that you seize this opportunity to be a blessing. Simply call our corporate office during business hours at 225-927-0577. 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577 for details. And if you are in the Baton Rouge area, please join us for the celebration on January the 25th at our 8 a.m. and 11 a.m. services, and meet the man of God that has blessed you for years. May God richly bless you, is our prayer.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Just a moment there. We want to share a few things with you out of this verse. Mark chapter 9, verse 23. When you have it, say amen. Let's begin reading now.
Jesus said unto him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth."
You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Of all of the titles I could use for this message, only believe suits it best. Only believe. Turn to someone next to you and tell them, only believe. Turn to somebody else, tell them, only believe. Now say to yourself, only believe. Amen. Amen. Now let me just share a few things with you. And one of the things that I think perhaps irritated and aggravated Jesus more in ministry was the fact that people who had every right and every reason to see, to hear, and to know the reality of a living God and what he had done and what he was doing was very prevalent in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, many times, they did not believe him. Nothing is more, I guess, disheartening than to know that Jesus came down from glory to earth, took on the form of flesh, so that he could identify firsthand with man and all of his issues and all of his cares and all of his situations firsthandedly, and to be able to deal with them out of a perfect spirit, and to bring man back into a right relationship with God the Father, and then to have them, the same ones that you've come to help, not believe you. How disheartening it is to have that kind of feeling. As a matter of fact, I believe it is Matthew 13 and 58 that says that he could do no mighty miracles there because of their unbelief. Turn me down a little bit. There's a ringing. Or turn some of these other mics down, please. Listen, because of their unbelief. It didn't say he couldn't do the miracles. He said he couldn't do them there. Because it suggests, and I want us to help us, because if we want to see God work miracles in our lives, blessings in our lives, do the uncommon and the unusual and the unnatural in our lives, we have to create an atmosphere. Amen. We have to create an atmosphere. If you recognize that God resides in the praises of his people, he finds habitation in the praises of his people, then if you want God close to you, then you have to learn how to create a spirit of praise and worship, even of one. And God will visit you when you've created an atmosphere of praise and worship for him to have habitation, for him to take residence in. When you create that and God's presence is near, everything that you want is right near you in God. You've got to know how to call God's presence into your presence and receive what it is God has for you, because you know how to summon him, giving him what he wants from you. And so you've got to learn how to create an atmosphere. If you want healing, you've got to learn to create an atmosphere for healing. If you want deliverance, you've got to create an atmosphere for deliverance. You don't expect God to just drop in and do something and y'all not even welcoming him. not even preparing for him to come. Nothing's going to happen in that kind of atmosphere because it's been convoluted. It's been contaminated because we've not gotten the evil spirits out of the way. Because, listen, they don't want to be where the praise and the worship of God is. And where there is no real praise and worship of God, those other kind of spirits live in the place. When we lift up holy hands, we are humbling ourselves, but we're also submitting ourselves to the sovereign God. None greater, none better, none higher, none richer, none more worthy than you, God. And so you lift up holy hands to him. But it's also a symbol of welcoming him from heaven here in our presence. Got to create an atmosphere. Now, let me just say this. This word says very simply, if you canst believe, if you have the wherewithal, the ability to believe, all things are possible. A man brought his son to Jesus' disciples. Now keep in mind, the disciples had already been anointed and appointed to go out to heal, to cast out demons, and to do mighty works in Jesus' name. They had the anointing. Jesus was not in their midst. He brought them, his son, to them, and they could not heal him. Jesus was upset with that because they were extensions of Jesus. Jesus had given them the authority to do what he had done in the earth realm. And so if they met with one of his disciples, it was just like meeting with Jesus. They could ask them for what they wanted and did not have to wait till Jesus came, because his anointing he had imparted upon them. But the man came with his son, and his son was, Matthew calls it a lunatic, and here it calls it a dumb and deaf spirit. But he was possessed by demonic powers. He fell in the fire. He fell in the water. He cut himself. He screamed. He did all kind of things because he was possessed. And they could not heal the boy. And he couldn't wait to find Jesus, to tell Jesus, Jesus, I brought him to your disciples. And they couldn't do nothing about this situation. Now, Mark goes a little easy on him. But Matthew brings it on. Matthew calls him a perverse, faithless, and perverse generation. How long shall I suffer you? Look at what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying perverse. The word perverse means to take something out of the original operation and make it something else. In other words, they had the anointing. The anointing was to heal. The anointing was to deliver. The anointing was to do the works that Jesus had demonstrated in their presence. So they had that power, but yet they allowed what they saw in a person to cause fear and disbelief to come upon them, that they could not operate in the spirit. One of the things I want you to see here is what upsets Jesus is, if he's given you the authority, why don't you use it? You've got to believe that what he's, it ain't about you. It's about the anointing he's placed on you. It's not, listen, you need to say what he say. open your mouth and say the very words he said when he spoke deliverance, when he called out demonic spirits, when he called folk healed. You use the words he used because the words are on the anointing he's placed on you. Now listen to this. Three things he starts off with. If thou canst believe. So what it says, again, because the disciples come to him and want to know why we couldn't do it. Because you don't believe. Not because you doubted, but because you didn't believe. There is a difference between doubting and disbelieving. Doubting means you don't have enough to process the situation. Doubting means that you don't have the full faith to cause the effect of something. Doubting means that you're unsure whether this thing is going to happen. Disbelieving says, I don't care what you say, it ain't going to happen. You can't convince me that it's going to happen because I don't believe it. Now, if you don't believe it, what's the sense in you being in a place you call yourself a Christian? If you don't believe he's still working miracles, what are you doing here? If you don't believe he's still casting out demons and delivering folk today, what are you doing here? If you don't believe God is still opening doors, making ways, my question to you is, what are you doing here? One of the reasons why God does so much in third world countries is because they believe. When they get hurt, they can't run to urgent care. They can't run the ER. They got witch doctors. They have medicine men. And they have God. And they've got to decide which one they're going to believe in. And God is doing more miracles in third world countries than he is in America. Because our faith doesn't measure up to where God's blessings and miracles are released. If you don't give him an opportunity to work his work, you then aren't going to get the blessings. But with people who are hungering, desiring, praising, worshiping him, and I mean them folk know about praise. They know about worship. They don't just bow down for 2-3 minutes and pop on up. They're on their knees, on their face for hours before God. Because they know if God doesn't do it, it's the end for them. But we have options, alternatives. We don't trust God. We don't believe God. We don't need God like so many of those persons in third world countries. This is what I hope God doesn't do. I hope God doesn't make us a third world country. Because I promise you, he knows how to drive you to church. He knows how to make you want him. He knows how to make you call on his name. He knows how to make you lift up holy hands. He knows how to make you say, God, Father, I stretch my hands to thee. No other help I know. If thou withdraw thyself from me, whither shall I go? He knows how to make that happen in your life. We ought to be wise enough that he doesn't have to make us do that. But we do it because we desire his presence. So only believe, only believe, only believe. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. The limitations we put on God are the limitations that we put on our blessings. The limitations we put on our faith to believe that if God has done it before, that was before, but he can't do it now, means it won't happen now in your life. Doesn't mean it won't happen again. It just won't happen in your life. And so, if I get nothing else over to you today, how many of your dreams, your goals, your desires have been unfulfilled? And the underlying problem very well could be because of your unbelief. Why can't God do great things in your life? Miracles in your life? The question very well may be, because you don't believe. You don't have to be no scholar, no theologian. You just need to be a believer. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. I'm going to do like Jacob did. I'm going to wrestle with him. I'm not going to let him go till he blesses me. You see, you have got to come to that point where you let the Lord know, Lord, if you don't do it, nobody else can. If you don't step in and turn my situation around, it won't be turned around. You've got to let God know how much you believe in him, whether he does it or not. You remember the three Hebrew boys? Going into the fiery furnace, they said clearly to the king, O king, live forever. When he told them to bow down at the sound of the music. But they told him, listen, we will bow down before no other God. Our God is well able to deliver us. Listen at this. But if not, we will not bow. Listen at that. Did you get that? Our God is able to do it, but if he chooses not to do it, we're still not going to bow to you. Now that's some kind of belief in God. You on your way to a furnace that's been heated 7 times hotter than it ought to be, and your trust is in a God that they can't see, but you believe he's walking with you, talking with you, he's right there with you, and you tell the king, we're not going to bow down because our God is bigger than you. He's bigger than our problems, and we're going to trust him. And they get to the furnace, and the men who were there to throw them in got burned up. And not one hair on their head was singed. When the men got burned up that brought them to throw them into the furnace, they walked on in there, bound. But because their faith was so strong that the Lord was able to deliver them, he met them in the furnace. You see, what you got to know is the God you serve is so big, he can meet you in your problem. He'll show up and show out right there in your situation while you're going through it to let you know you're not alone. Tell somebody you're not alone if you belong to Jesus. You're not alone if you belong to Jesus. He knows how to show up in the nick of time. And the king couldn't understand how his men got burned up. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not. Open up the door.